Welcome, fellow gardeners and would-be gardeners, to In the Garden. Today our show will feature citrus and avocados, and you are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. And the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the Board of Regents. For more information, go to KUCI.org. My name is Mark Fairley, and I will be your Master Gardener host today. And we are fortunate to have as our guest today, Greg Rager. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you for letting me be here and chat today.
Oh, we love it. Greg, so our audience gets to know a little bit about you, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I grew up in the Midwest and was in a military family. So I learned a lot about different cultures and different fruits and vegetables of the world. And when I moved to Southern California in the early 70s, it was a good chance to grow a variety of different things, including avocados and citrus, that might not have done well in some of the other parts of the world that I'd lived in.
Very good. Today we're going to start off with citrus, and then the second half of the program will be on those love fruits called avocados. And citrus. Citrus is so popular in Orange County. Why is that?
Well, I think part of the reason is that originally Orange County got its name from the fact there were so many orange orchards planted in the early days. Most of those have gone now. There is still a variety of oranges and orchards planted in other areas, but Orange County, the cost of real estate has changed the landscape, literally and figuratively, from what it used to be. But they are still popular. Citrus is a fruit that you find in many areas. I used to live in Westminster, and seemed like every house down there had a couple different varieties of citrus and other fruits that grow well here in Southern California.
And even if there wasn't any fruit, the streets were all named orange something or other.
Yeah, exactly. The streets were named after that. They also have colleges that were named after that.
Right.
And the citruses themselves have certainly changed from the original family of three varieties, the citron, the mandarin, and the pomelo. But now we're more familiar with the sweet orange groups, and, of course, lemon, limes, and some of the grapefruits that have become quite popular.
Let's talk a little bit about those.
Sure.
in a moment. Now, with the drought having many mandates on our homeowners, and that's who we're really talking about today, our homeowners are backyard gardeners that have some citrus trees. Are citrus a big user of water?
For the typical homeowner, I would suggest that not any more than some of the other, certainly not as much as your grass would require.
Sure.
And one of the ways to help reduce the water usage for any fruiting tree is to make sure you maintain it as a smaller tree. Also to use...
What do you mean by that? Most mature orange trees are, for example, orange or even limes or grapefruits are old trees that have grown substantially.
I understand, Mark. If they haven't been maintained or reduced in size, trees might typically get as big as 20, 30, even 40 feet tall. The problem you have when a tree is that big is unless you are agile enough or you have a ladder, you're unable to get the fruit on the top. If you are planting the tree yourself and you maintain the height of, let's say, 8 to 12 feet, you can very easily reach the majority of the fruit. A smaller tree is also going to require less water, which helps from your water management standpoint.
That works well with us, too.
Absolutely. And another thing that may help also is by maintaining a smaller tree, you're able to generally get better fruit that's bigger fruit because the tree is not putting its energies in trying to make itself bigger.
Make bigger. Well, that's interesting. And there is another little side to that, at least I've found. I may have talked to you about, I have a blood orange tree, and boy, it gets a lot of blood oranges. Unfortunately, when I planted it 30 years ago, I let it get big.
Well,
and as a result, the first few weeks I'm harvesting, get a bag from Trader Joe's and take it over to the neighbors. Now what I found is that after a month or two of giving away the fruit, when they see me walking down the around the neighborhood with a bag in my hand, they turn around and walk the other way. But
well, and that happens quite often. One of the things that you can do when you have an excess of fruit, we will actually at our home, we will take and we'll either juice, or if it's a fruit such as cherimoyas where it's got a lot of pulp to it, we'll actually get all the seeds out and we'll freeze it. And we
Very
can use
good.
That for making smoothies or a variety of different things later on in the year when you don't have that fruit around. Certainly eat as much as you can when it's fresh, but there's a variety of different things you can do when you do have that abundance. Another thing for keeping the tree small is when you're less prone to have that abundance. As you mentioned, you can't even give away the fruit sometimes. And by keeping the tree small is more that you can use locally with family and friends, close friends, rather than how do I give all this away?
Sure, family and friends and assisted living facilities, Second Harvest Food Bank. I know I have ended up oftentimes giving away. And they just love the fresh fruit.
Another way of also controlling some of this abundance is if you are recently planting or planning on planting a tree, rather than planting two or three of the same varieties, maybe get a couple different varieties of trees where as an example, there's different varieties of what we call the sweet oranges, the navel oranges, and you could have one orange that might be producing early in the season, another tree that produces in the middle season, and then another tree that produces late in the season. So you're extending your season out, and that way you don't have that overabundance.
I love that idea. Homeowners, gardeners, fruit growers, listen to what Greg has to say. That was great advice and something that can be well done in a small area, backyard, very easily. And I like what Greg was telling earlier. He only plants things he can eat. And that's a good tip also. And typically, those are things, blood oranges or certain types of limes or other citruses are things you cannot buy in the supermarket.
You also mentioned, Mark, that the water usage, there's also other indirect costs that we don't often associate with growing your fruit at home versus buying it from a market. And if you're able to grow, if you have the space, even if you're limited on space, there's things you can do with oranges that might make good potted plants in containers. You want to make sure it's a fairly large pot. But smaller trees and smaller requirements such as a kumquat or a small lemon tree or a lime tree or even a medium-sized sweet orange such as the parent Washington navel or caracara or any of the ones that are available, if you have limited space, putting them in a pot might also help keep that small. You have some additional concerns when they're in containers. You have to make sure that they get the nutrients, the proper nutrients that they would otherwise get from the soil. So it becomes more critical that you pay attention to a more regular, even though it's more dilute, but a more regular feeding schedule than it might be if it were in the ground.
For example, a citrus fertilizer would work well?
Yes, the same, ironically enough, the same requirements in many regards are for both citrus and avocados. Matter of fact, when you go to the store and buy your fertilizer, typically it's marketed and sold as a package that would be good for both avocados and citrus.
Oh, really? So we wouldn't have to we could use the same thing?
Use the same thing.
I like that. But that is a key tip also. Regular fertilization. Is it normally the best to fertilize after the plant has harvested its crop? Or is there a certain period?
The best way of answering that question, Mark, is to refer to the manufacturer's label in what is the best time to fertilize the plants, and pay particular attention to those. We quite often get questions about plant nutrients and how sickly a plant is working. When we ask them, well, how often do you fertilize it? Well, we've never fertilized it. It's been in the ground for 4 or 5 years, and we've never fertilized it. You do have to, much like we need nutrients to maintain our health, the plants, and fruiting plants especially, need nutrients to maintain their health. This will also give you, if you do have it in a container, I know many people have successfully used half wine barrels for these, because about the time the wine barrel starts disintegrating is about the time you need to prune the roots back a little bit and also prune the top of the tree in order to maintain the balance, and then give it additional soil, put it back into a new container, and you're good to go again. Much like a bonsai plant that is maintained in a small container, citrus would be doing good in a fairly large but yet small container for the home.
The wine barrel seems to be a good
wine
size,
barrel is
doesn't
excellent
it?
Excellent.
And you can put it on your patio.
Yep.
What kind of sun does
citrus likes heat? They like the sun and they like the heat. Be a little bit careful if it's if you do put it in a wine barrel, I would suggest putting it on rollers. So if you do need to move it around, it's a little bit easier because soil does get very heavy. I would also make sure that even though it requires heat, I wouldn't suggest putting it, as an example, on top of a concrete apron where it gets not only the heat, but it gets the reflected heat from the concrete. That actually might be a little bit too much heat.
I hear you there. And that brings us to pruning it. Is it to keep it small or to the right size, let's put it, so it doesn't get over root heavy or top heavy? I mean, if it's top heavy, you got to have roots to support it, right?
That's correct, absolutely. And oranges and citrus, as a general rule, require a minimal amount of pruning. What you do want to get rid of is there's a tendency for them to develop some smaller dead branches on the inside.
Yes.
Get rid of the dead branches. Get rid of any branches that are crossing over and touching, because if you're not careful where they touch, it might abrade and may damage the bark. It's also important to use those pruning techniques to help maintain the overall shape and size of the tree.
That's probably the best thing you can do for the shape of your ornamental tree. It's not really ornamental, but it looks pretty in your yard if it has nice shape.
Exactly, and one of the advantages of citrus is it can be pruned to a variety of different shapes. Some people have used citrus planted relatively close together as a hedge. It becomes a living hedge.
Really?
Which not only allows you to control the privacy of your garden, but it also is an attractive border if you do have a neighbor where, and it also allows you to have fruit on both sides of the tree, and that will certainly help promote good quality relationships with your neighbors.
I know many of the mow and blow people, when they want to prune your trees, you have to be careful of them to make sure that they don't top them off or get too much sun in the middle of the tree and sunburn it and whatever happens. Some good techniques.
That is absolutely correct. Especially in Southern California, we are prone to have very sunny days. And if you open up a citrus tree too much in the center, unlike some other fruiting plants, if you open it up too much in the center, the tree may get sunburned. Both citrus and avocado have a very thin bark compared to some other trees. And yet you want to have a bit of an airflow going through the tree. One of the best suggestions I'd ever heard was, if I'm standing underneath my citrus tree and I look at how the sun goes through it, I need to see some of that sunlight kind of dappling through onto the ground underneath the tree. That means that there's a certain amount of light getting to the interior. This also means there's a certain amount of open air that can flow through. This will help prevent some mold and mildew, which would then, if that happens, that brings in the aphids and it brings in the ants, and you've got a whole different set of
all the bad things.
Bad things to deal with. But giving that little bit of an air space in there, when planted as a hedge, and if the trees are kept small, typically they don't need to be any farther than about 6 feet or so apart from each other, center to center. And I've seen some very attractive borders created by doing it that way.
And that will probably work just as well with not only in a pot or in a wine barrel, et cetera, but planting location, getting sun. And oftentimes in Southern California here, Orange County in particular, we used to, 30 years ago, have large lots and small homes, and today we've got large homes and small lots, and there's a lot of shade as a result. So we kind of need to find a good area for them to get their sun.
Absolutely, and it's that exposure to the sun that actually helps with the sweetness of your citrus. If
really?
The sweet oranges, if they are in a cool environment, they typically will not develop that sweetness. Ironically enough, the what's affectionately referred to as the blood oranges or the pigmented oranges or citrus, they need cool evenings with hot days to develop a sweetness and develop that red color.
The red inside.
Exactly. They're so well known for. If they're grown in an area where you don't have those extremes, they may develop a certain amount of color and sweetness, but not as much as they would in a more radical climate.
Sure. Yeah. And it probably takes them a little longer to get to the ripeness that you desire along the line. We talked a moment ago about fertilizer, and I hate to throw this one at you, but because I hadn't gone over it with you before, I should have. I like to use humic acid. Do you ever use humic acid in your...
I've used that on what we call stone fruit. I've used that on pluots and peaches. I don't know, I don't have any personal experience with humic acid in relationship to citrus trees.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's okay. It was kind of off the wall, but it was just kind of curious, and I saw it in my notes.
Well, and that's okay. There is one thing which I'm sure most of your listeners are aware of. University of California, Riverside has a fantastic website that deals with some of the questions that may come up, including things like pests and diseases. And it's the Integrated Pest Management, or IPM.UCDavis.edu. And it's
could you repeat that?
Absolutely. It's ipm.ucdavis.edu, or just do an internet search for integrated pest management or IPM, and that should take you right to that website.
Sure.
And there is a tremendous amount of information that we as taxpayers have paid for and is readily available there through the University of UC Davis and also the University of Riverside. They have a wonderful citrus collection there in Riverside. Riverside is also the current home of the parent Washington Navel. That's one of the original Washington Navel tree that dates back to I believe it was 1873. And the
it's
tree,
still alive?
Still alive, 143 years old. They've had to use some special grafting techniques in order to maintain it, but that tree was planted back there, and it was actually moved in 1902 to its current location. But originally it was received in 1873. The Tibbetts of Riverside received a couple of trees, and all of the Washington Navels in the world basically can trace their route directly back to that tree.
Very good. That's very good information. Now, I have a couple other questions along the line. Mulching.
Mulching does several things. It reduces your use of water, which is a good thing in our drought concerns here. Mulching also helps maintain, in the blistering heat of summer, it also helps maintain a little bit of a cooler area for your tree. It may reduce the temperature of the ground by as much as 10 to 15 degrees. Generally speaking, the current recommendation is somewhere in the neighborhood of approximately 4 inches of mulch. You do want to have it a little donut area, as it were, a little clear area away from the base of the tree.
Why is that?
Well, you want to make sure that the base of the tree itself doesn't get what they call crown root rot, where if it can't breathe and the moisture collects there, it may cause that trunk to rot literally right at the ground level. And
we can make them vulnerable to disease.
Absolutely.
As a result. Stress trees.
Good wind comes along and it'll blow it right over. So creating that donut area that's still clear, depending upon the size of the tree. If it's a small potted plant, obviously you may not be able to have a 12-inch circle. But a typical tree planted in the ground that might have a diameter of 4 to 6 inches, you want to have around 6 to 12-inch donut where the mulch is not up against that. Mulching also helps control the weeds, and there's a lot of microbial beneficial results of having mulch around your tree. It also helps reduce soil compaction because both citrus and avocados have what's called surface roots. A good percentage of their root structure is in the first foot or so. Matter of fact, with avocados, it's around 96 to 97% of the roots are actually in that first 12 inches or so of the soil. And having that mulch helps minimize the compaction of that roots.
Will these guidelines, call them that for the time being, work as well for all citrus like oranges, limes, and grapefruit and other citrus?
Sure. That should be fine. Once again, depending upon the size, if you have a citrus in a container, then you'll be scaling that down just a little bit.
Sure.
But I have somewhere around 24 to maybe even 30 different varieties of citrus. Several of them are in pots because we're working on a demonstration garden, and I still mulch those. They're in terracotta pots for the most part. I want the roots to be able to breathe a little bit, but I do mulch them as well. That, from that standpoint, it mainly helps control the weeds.
That's very important, and we still have a few minutes to go. Not very many, but a few. But I had a couple questions On the citrus trees, are all citrus trees grafted?
Generally speaking, the trees that you would find at any of a variety of nurseries, or that you would find for sale at what we refer to as the box stores, generally those are grafted. Citrus is one of the few fruit trees where you can do a special graft called air layering, where through a series of steps, and it takes up to a year for the roots to develop this way. But if you do air layering, you can actually get a branch of the tree to develop roots. It's got to be, typically, it's a small branch. You can't do this to a big branch. And when the roots have developed and you cut that branch then off of the tree and plant that, then that tree will be able to grow, and it will not have a graft on it, but it will in fact produce the same type of citrus as the parent tree. There are a few fruiting plants that you can do that to, and citrus was one of them.
Why do we have grafted?
Because much like if you are a product of your two parents, and you have characteristics of each of those parents from a genetic standpoint, when you have a seed in either a citrus or any kind of fruit, and you plant that seed, you may or may not get a tree that's going to produce fruit. And if it does produce fruit, it's probably not going to be as good as the original fruit.
And
that doesn't always apply, but your chances of planting a tree and getting a good fruit, first of all, it's going to be 5 to 7 to maybe even 10 years, and it's questionable whether the fruit is going to be any good. So by grafting from a good known variety, then you're able to produce, you take a small stick from a tree and put it onto rootstock, and you're able to go from there.
So we're taking a good rootstock that is primarily disease resistant. Is that the most important thing?
The rootstock is generally designed to be disease resistant and environment resistant to a variety of different things that you have. When you buy a tree that has been grafted from any variety of sources, they try to produce rootstock, which will give you the better chances of producing a good tree there.
Kind of the survival of the fittest.
Survival of the fittest, absolutely. I do want to mention, however, in all
Go
fairness.
Go ahead. We got about 45 seconds.
Okay. One of the things we have to be concerned with citrus, and this is very important to your listeners, is there is a very, very bad bug that has affected the citrus industry. It's transmitted by the Asian citrus psyllid, and the virus itself is called the greening disease, or HLB, Hong Long Bing virus. It is a very bad thing. We've actually found two incidences of it in Southern California. It has the potential, if gone unchecked, to devastating the citrus industry. It converts your citrus tree into a tree that does not produce good fruit anymore, and it will eventually kill the tree. So from that standpoint, as much as we like to graft other things, citrus trees and citrus plants, and even moving the plant from one area to the other, becomes very critical that you don't just haphazardly do that.
So don't move wood that you don't know to your property.
I will say further, don't move any citrus wood from one property to the other. If you are, like many of our other groups, such as California Rare Fruit Growers, if you're interested in propagating your own, you can grow things from, you can grow your rootstock from seeds on your property. And the Riverside Citrus Collection, you can actually purchase some of these small clean sticks or budwood or scion wood from them that you can graft to your tree. But you do not want to take tree cuttings from your neighbors and graft them on from their property.
Neighbors, friends, or people from other states or areas.
Please don't do it, because this
is... That is not allowed.
It is a very bad thing. It has affected citrus in both Florida and Texas, and they are fighting desperately to keep that from affecting things here.
Greg, great job on citrus. Now we're going to transition to avocados. But before we get in that, I'd like you to talk. You mentioned something, the California rare fruit growers. Could you tell us a little bit about that and how to get in touch with them if you're an interested citrus, avocado, or whatever grower?
There are many gardening organizations. There's many organic gardening organizations here in Southern California. One of the ones that I'm a member of is the California Rare Fruit Growers, affectionately referred to as CRFG. And that was a group that was started in the 60s, the 1960s. And at the time, the name California Rare Fruit Growers, over time, that's actually become a little bit of a misnomer, because many of the fruits that were considered rare at that time have become commonplace now. I would suggest that they are more currently a conversation in fruit diversity, and still may be somewhat rare, but is now becoming fairly commonplace. There is, as an example, there are hundreds of varieties of avocados, dozens of varieties of citrus that all can be acquired from a variety of different means. But by the same token, what makes a good commercial harvestable fruit, such as the avocado, may not be the same kind of fruit that you want in your backyard, because you can control when that fruit is harvested. You can pick it at its optimum moment, as opposed to picking it when it's green and it's nice and hard and hoping that it will develop something that resembles flavor when it actually hits the market. And those are typically good sources. California Rare Fruit Growers is in a variety of different, I want to say 13, but I might be mistaken. I believe there's 13 chapters, if not more, in California, and other chapters in other states, probably one near you. And it is also an excellent source for finding things that will grow particularly to your area. We have different requirements here in Southern California than they might have, such as the Bay Area, San Francisco. I do believe there's a chapter up in the Inland Empire, and two chapters down in San Diego. And those individuals are the ones that are doing a variety of different informal testing and can also be good sources of information what might be good for you.
And just go on Google. Google knows everything, and check them out.
The knower of all things, where you can do a search for crfg.org, and that will direct you to whatever chapter might be close to you.
Very, very good. And they're a nonprofit group.
Absolutely, right? A nonprofit organization. Matter of fact, the Orange County chapter participates in active scholarship program to agricultural students, and they typically give somewhere around four or five scholarships to students each year.
Well, we got a few minutes. Let's go on to avocados. Why are avocados so good in Southern California?
We've got the climate here. As a matter of fact, Fallbrook, which is on the west side of the 15 freeway out there in the Inland Empire. Fallbrook, California is considered the avocado capital of California in the U.S.
Oh, it is. I didn't realize that.
Absolutely. And we've just got a good climate for growing avocados, just like we have an excellent climate for citrus.
So we've got the temps.
We've got the temperatures, and they also have, from what I recall, the first commercial planting was in 1913 or 1914 near Yorba Linda. The avocados were originally introduced to California about 1850. And, of course, everybody is familiar with the Hass avocado. And the Hass avocado was one that was selected by Rudolf Hass in 1920 in La Habra. And as the story goes, there was a couple failed grafts, and one of the seedling rootstocks produced this avocado, which his kids liked, and he decided to market it. He patented it, named it after himself, and it's now one of the premier avocados, certainly in California. The beauty of the Haas avocado is that it's got great taste. It's a thicker-skinned avocado, so it can withstand some of the commercial harvesting. It's somewhat cold-tolerant. If it occasionally dips below even to 30 degrees, it can recover quite nicely. It has a great shelf life, and it's just flat-out just darn good. So that's one of the ones that most people will find commercially. But my experience is, although it's a great avocado, it may not always be the best one.
What do you think the best is? Or taste?
Well, what I found is taste is very subjective. Mark, I'm sure you have different taste requirements than I have. And that's the beauty of a lot of the fruit that's out there. Different people look at it differently. When you're looking at avocados, there's ultimately, at the base level, there's only three different varieties. There's the West Indian that we cannot grow here. We do not have the temperature or the humidity. There's the Guatemalan one, which is the green skin with bumpy skin. And then there's the Mexican avocado, typically smaller, black, smooth skin. And the avocados that we know today and we can see marketing, such as the Haas or the Reed or the Zutano or any of the Pinkerton, any of the number ones that you might see out there, those are a mixture and matching, as it were, of the Guatemalan and the Mexican. One that I particularly find flavorful is the Reed. That seems to do well both along the coast and further inland. I've spoken to some of the Inland Empire organizations, gardening groups, and many people out there have suggested they've actually had Reed that do quite well out there. Most of the commercial growers, I believe, are still growing your Haas avocado.
Well, we all know how good avocado is, and we also know how good it is for us. They say the fat of that is in avocados is something you should eat maybe a half an avocado a day. So having a tree is not a bad idea for your own health and good. Now, somebody wants to plant an avocado. Can you give us a few planting tips or maybe how to select a plant?
As far as planting, the difficult thing is usually trying to find an avocado variety that you like. If your neighbor has a tree that produces a good avocado, but we don't know what kind it is, then you're kind of at the mercy of learning how to graft in order to propagate that. Worst case basis, if you have an opportunity to try either at perhaps one of the La Habra Avocado Festivals or the Camarillo Avocado Festival, those are opportunities for you to possibly try some of the different varieties to find out which one that you like. Once you have found the variety that you like and you have found a tree, the main thing to remember with avocados when planting them is they do not like wet feet. You need to plant it a little bit higher than normal.
What do you mean by that?
You don't want to plant the plant at ground level. You want it to be between, I would say between 8 and 15 inches higher above wherever the ground it's in. This becomes very critical if you have a very heavy clay soil. A lot of Orange County has clay soil, and if you're not careful, when you put it in that clay soil, and if the roots don't have room to breathe, literally, then over time they will rot and the tree itself will die. It usually takes about 3 to 5 years.
And I understand that the roots are very shallow roots, surface roots almost.
Right, exactly. Just as we mentioned with citrus, approximately, especially with avocados, approximately 96% to 97% of their root system is in the first 12 inches.
So if we are going to be planting mm-hmm. a an avocado tree. Mm-hmm. First thing, make the hole big. Is that right?
Make the hole bigger, but don't necessarily make it any deeper than you have to. You do not want to use any amendments in the soil. You
so don't buy anything from Home Depot or any other.
No.
Just use the regular soil.
You want it to get used to that soil. You want it to learn how to grow into that soil. If you pack a bunch of amendments in there, the soil is going to shrink, number one, the environment is planted in, as those components decompose. But it's also critical that the tree learn how to survive in the environment that it's in. Otherwise, the tree will grow through the amendments, and then it will hit that outer area, and then it learns it can't grow through there. So planting it, we'd like to think of it as not a volcano, but an avocano. Have that.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you're planting that tree a little bit higher up than usual, and you slope the ground around it so that it has plenty of room to get air to the roots, and it can develop those area roots that it needs to survive.
It's almost like growing on a avocano.
Absolutely.
And having that 6-8 inches above the soil level is a good thing.
Absolutely. And that is above there. You'll also have, if you have the graft there, you can typically find the graft where it's grafted. That also has to make sure that that is above ground level. So that graft union, as it were, may be a foot to 18 inches higher than where the ground level is. So it's important we keep track of what part are we talking about. When we talk about it being between 10 and 15 inches, that is the root ball itself being that much higher than the hole it's into, because you don't want to be watering your lawn and have this tree be the lowest part of the lawn as it settles in. And if you have clay soil, it becomes very critical because the roots are just going to rot out.
Do you normally get grass out of the way?
I would. Grass has become, grass is the largest cultivated crop in the United States.
It is.
There's some sources that I've heard. And it does not do your trees any good because they don't like the competition for nutrients.
Sure. And they use a lot of, grass uses a lot of nitrogen. And
absolutely. You want it nice and pretty and green. Well, it's going to be using up nitrogen and things from the soil. You also want to make sure that you mulch it just like you did with the other one. So around 4 inches of mulch. Make sure you have that donut around just like we talked with the citrus.
Yes.
You want to make sure that base of the trunk itself has room to breathe a little bit.
How about pruning?
Pruning?
Keeping it to the...
You just want to maintain its height. Avocados sometimes develop a lot of what appears to be dead branches on the inside. Those usually you can just pop off with your hands. But you want to maintain the height of your tree. I would not recommend it get any higher than about 12 to 15 feet. A lot of people, especially if you are not prone to want to climb a ladder, you want to limit your tree to between 8 to 12 feet high. And those are typical things that we can reach easily with our hands or with a small type of a gardening device, a fruit picker that might help us pick the fruit off. Avocados themselves do not start ripening until they're taken off of the tree.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, that's a very common question that comes in. Why don't they ripen when they're on the tree? That's just the way it works. But if you, probably one of the most difficult things about avocados and planting them is that you want to make sure they have something to act as a cross-pollinator. If you have space in your garden, they do not make good container plants. If you have space in your garden for at least 2, even up to 4 trees, if you plant the right varieties, you could actually have avocados virtually all year round. Much like citrus, there are things that will ripen at different times of the year.
Sure.
As an example, we've mentioned the Hass avocado. Very well known, liked by most people. You figure that's going to be ripening somewhere between February and usually August is its primary ripening season. Fuerte is another variety that you see out there. That's usually an early one. That usually starts in January. So if you had a Fuerte and a Haas and maybe a Reed avocado, R-E-E-D, which is a late variety, and maybe throw in a Janbois or a Charwell for good measure, you would basically have avocados all year round. So if you have room for three or four avocados, that would be the way to go.
How much room do you need?
Well, avocados, if you're putting them in a group, Tom Shea, who's one of the research associates out at Riverside, he suggested one time what he called a ring of avocados.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you place them in a circular fashion, kind of one in the middle, and the other three avocados at kind of three different points around that one. And if you put the trees around 10 feet to 12 feet apart or so, you can have, in a relatively small area, three to four different avocados that collectively are not going to take very much moisture. They are in that small of a group. This is not for commercial harvesting.
Right.
You're just looking for having a good range of avocados that you can pick pretty much year-round. And you can also pick them at the optimal time, which is usually when the avocado is growing and it's changing from a shiny color to somewhat of a dull color, and where the stem joins the fruit, it goes from this yellowish green to where it starts getting a little bit of a brown tinge. That's the time to pick it.
And when you store them for ripening, should they be in the shade, sun?
We just store ours inside the house.
Just put them in the house.
Okay. And some varieties might actually ripen in as short as 4 days. Other varieties might take as much as 10 days to ripen. And you can tell when they're ripe when you squeeze gently the avocado, and the fruit inside just gives a little bit when you press aside it. That's usually a sign that it's ready to go.
So it would make no difference if you were sight impaired, because you could always squeeze that avocado.
You can squeeze a little bit. You do have to have some visual acuity in order to figure out when's the right time to pull it off the tree. But there's a variety of different charts that are available. The internet is a wonderful source of information.
And I've heard that.
There's a variety of different sources out there where you can find some more particulars about it. One of the ones that I've used, my favorite one, is the University of California Riverside has a website. It's UC, as in University of California, avo.ucr.edu. Let me repeat that. It's ucavo.ucr.edu. And on that website, it will talk about the varieties of avocados, where they came from, whether they are what's called a flower type or a B flower type, which dictates when the blossom is open, whether it's a male or a female, and when is it open. It will also talk about the overall thickness of the skin, how much of the fruit versus the seed. Some have a larger seed to fruit ratio. It's a wonderful source for finding out some of these varieties of avocados that you can then dig into more and hopefully taste at some point in time.
And you won't have to pay. If you grow it them yourself and use Greg's recommendation of having, say, four varieties, you won't have to pay $3 a day for an avocado,
no,
right?
No, that's exactly. And having them in your backyard is certainly a huge plus. What you'll also find is through some organizations such as California Rare Fruit Growers or other organizations, you may be able to get budwood. It's not as critical. Your avocado is not under the same kind of regulatory requirements
as citrus
is right now. But avocados are a very easy thing to graft.
Do they have any diseases that are predominant to them?
Not as much as some trees.
They're pretty strong, right?
Again, is especially back to the conversation with mulch. There's some kind of a self-inoculation that takes place. The short-winded version of that is use the tree's own leaf litter as mulch for the avocado, because when that leaf litter breaks down, it actually helps inoculate the tree against some of the various fungus and root rots that can occur. Don't rake it up, put it in a bag, and give it to your garbage company to get rid of it. It makes perfect mulch for that. And another reason to have the mulch around here, remember, these have surface roots, and you do not want to have a lot of foot traffic around that avocado tree. Another reason to keep it small, while I'm thinking about it, is that big tree means big roots, and avocado trees have been known to damage sidewalks and driveways because the tree itself gets too big. So if you can maintain a smaller tree size, and as we talked about, having them in a circle of avocados, because they're all going to be competing for those nutrients in that generally small area, the tree itself is probably going to stay a little bit smaller.
Greg, did I understand that you thought the best place, if it's possible, in your yard to grow them is on a slope?
On a slope, exactly. If you have drainage problems, if you're on a clay area, when I lived in Westminster, my neighbor right on the backside of the fence had perfect soil. Mine was basically clay. And from what I understand, back in the 60s, a lot of that area of Westminster was actually, of all things, a asparagus field. And it appears that my property was the lower area where all the silt went and it settled, and that's why you had a lot of the clay and the mud there.
No.
But if you plant it on a slope, if you do have soil that doesn't drain very well, planting on a slope is going to help that.
That's very interesting, because a lot of people create slopes in their, the landscapers in their neighbors, in their area, create slopes, and it seems to be a real in thing among the landscapers. What a great place to put your avocados.
Absolutely.
And I have another question. A fellow asked me not too long ago, but I heard you talk about it, so it's not really a question, other than from my standpoint, maybe our listeners. Growing from seed, for example, a seed from my grandfather's prime avocado tree, is that, but it doesn't seem as though it grows anything.
Your chances of getting a good tree from seed is very slim. I won't sit here and tell you that it's not going to happen. But the percentages are not with you on that. As we talked about earlier, you are a product of the genetic mix-up of both of your parents.
True.
And same thing happens with any fruit, especially avocados. If you have that pristine avocado with its seed from your grandparents' tree, which they find to be the most flavorful fruit in the world, and you plant that seed, you may find in anywhere between 5 and 10 years, if it produces fruit at all, it's probably not going to be a good fruit.
It
may be green, but it may not be
good. No fruit.
One of the things that typically happens is if you can plant that seed, and in about a year, it'll be big enough to where if you do want to experiment with it, you can then take a bit of budwood or what we call scion, a stick from a known good avocado tree, and graft it to your seedling, because that's what you call a small tree that starts
Sure.
out from seeds as a seedling. You can graft to that, and that would be another good way of practicing good horticulture.
And every once in a while, the master gardeners have a workshop. So keep your eye open on our website, UCCEMG.com. That's our website, and check out the workshops, because you might even meet Greg there. Or another expert also. But Greg, great job today. Our audience was very fortunate to have you come out here to the Research Center and talk to us for an hour on two areas that we're very interested in, citrus and avocados. And go ahead.
No, I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity, Mark, and sharing the time with me, and sharing this love of gardening that we all have.
Oh, that isn't that for sure. And for our listeners, again, if you have issues that you're having trouble dealing with and need an answer, contact our hotline. The hotline website is hotline@uccemg.com. They will get back to you with an answer from an expert, a scientist from the University of California, and other gardening experts that are Master Gardener trained people. Thanks again, Greg. This was a real joy for me to hear you talk about an area of interest to so many of our listeners. And for our listeners, tune back next Thursday, 8:30 to 9:30 a.m., KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Or you can even stream our programs. This one will take a while to get on because we have to get it on the air first, and then you can listen to it on a podcast on our website, as well as our other shows that we do on a weekly basis. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week.